Without further ado, thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. Wonderful to be back in Woodmere for to share Torah together. I was in West Hempstead for Shabbos giving some shiurim, and as I walked out of shul last night, people were coming over saying shkoyach, and then there was one person that came over and said, "Rabbi Razak, can I ask you a question?" I said, "Sure." He said, "You once mentioned in one of your shiurim about what the hardest mitzvah in the 613 are. What's the hardest of the taryag?" So I'm asking you, what's the hardest of the taryag? I'm like, what's the hardest? So in my shiurim, I've mentioned two other views. The Brisker Rav once said that the hardest mitzvah in his view is Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. But to feel the night of the Seder in our Tavshanai and Ches, that we went out of Mitzrayim, we went out of Egypt, we were Meshubad, we were slaves, so we try to act it out at home, and you put stuff on the back, and krechs, and say we don't have toys, and we don't have play, you try to act it out for the kids, but it's hard. Ki'ilu hu yatsami Mitzrayim? So the Brisker Rav said that's the hardest mitzvah. The Vilna Gaon had a different view. The Vilna Gaon said, Simchas Yantif. For an entire week, every second, being happy. The kids are home all day, You're sitting in traffic, you're going to amusement parks, or whatever. It's like Mela, if the kids are all in school and I'm at home doing my own thing, okay, maybe there's a chance. But 7 days straight without any disappointments, without any negative feelings, Simchas Yontif for entire week straight, says the Vilna Gaon, that's the hardest mitzvah. So there are a couple of other suggestions given. Those two I've heard, but maybe I was thinking as I was talking to him last night, we're giving a shiur tomorrow and I'm going to a conference all about family issues. And maybe the hardest, but up there on the list, is what we're going to talk about today. At least the background of what we're going to talk about today. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph, tells us in source number one, we know the famous Gemara, Amar Rava, B'shash HaMachris Adam Ladin, when we are brought to judgment after 120, Omrim Lo, right? They're called the six questions, but they're not really questions because the video is going to be playing, right? We're not going to have to answer anything. It's going to be obvious. So it's Omrim Lo, not Sho'alim Lo. Omrim Lo. It said, what do we ask, so to speak? Nasata Natata Be'emuna, were we honest in our dealings with our fellow man? Kavati itin laTorah, did we set aside time for Torah? These are lifelong missions. These aren't one-moment events in our life. Nasata Be'emuna, every day did we deal honestly with each other? Did we set aside time for Torah? The fourth one, Tzipisal Yeshua. Did we constantly recognize that we're missing something in life? Tzipisal Yeshua, Am Yisrael is lacking. Am Yisrael, we need Kibbutz Goliath. We need the salvation. That's also a lifelong mission. Every time we daven, every time we bench, we talk about it. And then we have number three, Asakta B'Pirya V'Rivya. Asakta B'Pirya V'Rivya is also not a one-time event. Boy and a girl, Yotze, that's not what the Gemara tells us. Asakta, it's an asek. It's a lifelong mission. Chazal tell us, Rashi quotes at the beginning of Vayeshev, Bikish Yaakov Leshi B'Shalva. Yaakov thought his kids were, his youngest were teenagers. I'm already beyond the age of Chinuch Habanim. They're on autopilot. They're more independent. Bikish Yaakov Leshi B'Shalva. Didn't work out. Right? Chinuch Habanim is a lifelong mission. Doesn't matter how old we are, how old our children, our grandchildren are. It's a Sakta B'Piri V'Rivya. It's an Asek. And maybe that's also one of the more challenging of our challenges in life. And maybe it's good to talk about it every so often. We go to school for so many things. We go to school for every profession. We don't go to school for being a parent. It's kind of just like, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, here you go. And we have to do the best we can. So maybe if we talk about a little bit what the goals are, and specifically, as you'll see the title, as we'll get to in a few minutes, we'll be able to help better our focus. Rav Shamshon Farl Hirsch talks about even the language of the Torah, Pru Urevu. What is the double lashon of Pru Urevu? Pru, from the word pri, from the word fruit, that's the physical creation of the children. Pru. But what's Revu? So Rav Hirsch says beautifully, Rovek Kashas is a archer. Rovek Kashas. As parents, as grandparents, we have to kind of like shoot our and channel and direct our children like an archer in the right direction. And if we could do that, if we could at least get it in the ballpark to pull back as deep as we can on the bow, and in that way be able to have a direction where our children face, says Rav Hirsch in source number 2, second to last line. We're not going to read everything inside to save time, make sure we get through everything. Line 9. Al ha-horim lishtol ulefateach bibneihem es meitav kochosem aruchaniyim v'musariyim. It's our job as parents and grandparents to develop, to help mold the ethical and spiritual personality of Am Yisrael and of our children. Kitzuro shel davar. In short, aleihem la'atzev ulechanech es bibneihem yibchina ruchanit u'musarit rak oz yo. Then we will live through our children. Pru happens very early. Pru happens when they're born. Revu is a constant. Revu is, as he says, Rovek Kashas. And we have to constantly maybe rethink and redirect and rechannel as our children grow and as we grow and as we get more experienced and our children get more experienced in life. That's Pru u Revu. Rav Pinkus writes in one of his Sfarim, Sefer on Chinuch, he says, you know, we have to make sure to fill up our children with what we're supposed to fill our children up with. What does that mean? He gives a mashal of a... Most mashals either have a king or a rich and a poor man. But this mashal has a car salesman. It says, mashal ma'adav adom ma'adam kana mechonit. Somebody buys a car. He starts to drive out of the shop, maskil and so on. And all of a sudden, after 20 minutes or so, the car dies. It's like, what's going on? He sold me a lemon. What's going on here? He calls the guy up. He's like, what you do? You sold this car. Doesn't work. He says, did you put this and that? He says, did you fill up with gas? He says, what are you talking about? You sold me a car. What's gas? What do I need? He says, you need to fill it up with gas. That's what makes it run. He says, okay. So he walks to the nearest place. He goes, I need some gas for my car. He goes, it's the smell, the stench. It's gas, it's putrid. He's like, well, I'm going to put this stuff into my... The car salesman says, this is what makes the car run. This is what the experts say. No, I'm going to put my own thing into the car. I know what to put in the car to make it run. The car salesman tells me, you need to put the gas in, and the car needs to run that way. Sometimes, says Rav Pinkus, we feel that we know better. We feel that, you know, we could come up with our own decisions and what to fill our children with. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us. Anu malamdin, says Rav Pinkus in the second paragraph. Esayel lahakshiv yafa, ladaber yafa. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu nafach banu neshama, neshama shenasati b'tahorihi. And the source of it all is connecting our children to their godly roots, to where they come from, to their tzelem elokim, and that's the gas of our children. We have to do everything we can to fill them up with that spiritual gas, with those spiritual values of Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim. That is what we have to do. That's the Asakta Bevirya Verivya. Torah tells us, the first Jew was beloved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avram Avinu. Why did Hashem love Avram so much? Well, I said, if you would have asked me, because he was the first one to recognize him. The whole world was running amok and not recognizing. Avram Avinu figured it out. Right, that Kodesh Baruch Hu, there's a Baal Habira, there's someone in charge. And why did Hashem love Avram? Because he recognized Hashem and he told the whole world about Hashem. It's not what it says. It's not what it says in the Torah. The Torah tells us, the next source, in source number 4, the top of the next page, Ki yedativ l'man asher yitzav ve'ez banav ve'ez beiso acharav. I loved him because he told his children about me. He told his children, "V'sharmu derech Hashem la'asostaka u'mishpat," because he taught his children about me. We'll get back to this in a moment. I'll just mention it now because it's very similar. Rav Soloveitchik once said, "There are three things that I think are going to get me into Olam Haba." Really? So we would have said he was the Gadol Hador and he was Mamid, thousands of Talmidim. Rav Soloveitchik once said, "There are three things that hopefully, you know, my ticket to Gan Eden." Number one, he said, I opened the Maimonides school in Boston. There was no day school, and he opened the school, Jewish education, opening the school. Number one. Number two, I supported Rav Chaim Heller. He was considered one of his Rebbeim. He was an elder Jew, and he was one of the secret Rebbeim. My father remembers Rav Chaim Heller used to give Tanakh shir, and my Rav Soloveitchik used to sit there with a Tanakh back and forth, but I supported Rav Chaim Heller. Number three, I learned with my children. I learned with my children. I focused on my children. Hopefully, Reb Soloveitchik said, that's my ticket in. Kodesh Baruch Hu loved Avram Avinu, not because of his public major, as the Rambam describes in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, the spiritual parade, how he spread monotheism throughout the world. Wherever he went, the thousands of people followed. No, the private. And again, there's a lot of ishtadlus, but we know as parents and as grandparents, there's a lot of tefillah also. There's a lot of davening. There's a lot of beseeching. The Baal Shem Tov was once asked, you have it in source number 5, someone who came to the Baal Shem Tov and said, you know, what's the secret, what's the skula for, as he called the Yiddish, gutta kinder? What's the secret? Nena Baal Shem Tov v'heshiv, sheyirchatsu b'cham in boka v'erev. Wash in warm water every morning and every evening. Take a shower? Now what does that mean? Yirchatsu b'chamin, boka v'erev, tamo ala tshuva. What do you talk, Rebbe? What do you mean? Ma'inin rechitza b'chamin liyiladim. The Baal Shem Tov says, no. Yirchatsu boka v'erev bidmos roschos. Bibakoshes rachem im alatzlachasam. Source number 5. To cry for our children. Morning and afternoon. And there shouldn't be a tefillah that we go through that in Shema Koleinu or any other place. At the end of Lokai Netzar, we list off, we go through every one of our children and everything they need. And davening that they follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways. So there's a lot of ishtadlus, but there's also a lot of tefillah. This is all by way of introduction. And we have to, of course, recognize the tremendous potential that each of our children have. We mentioned in Pesach Yerim, the Ramah and Yeridea, in source number 6, where the Ramah quotes the Rashba and the Tshuva, which is based on a Chazal, that a Jewish child should not nurse from an Egyptian woman. That's what the Shulchan Aruch quotes. Where does that come from? So, Parsha Shmos, when Moshe Rabbeinu would not nurse from an Egyptian woman until they found the woman who happened to be his mother. That's the Rashi. What does Rashi quote there in Parsha Shmos? Asid l'daber emashchina. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's inappropriate that Moshe Rabbeinu should nurse from an Egyptian woman. If asid l'daber emashchina, that's the Rashi. Ask Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky in Source number 7. So why shouldn't a Jewish baby nurse from an Egyptian woman? Because asid l'daber emashchina. What does that have to do with my child? Moshe Rabbeinu is an asid l'daber emashchina. So Moshe Rabbeinu shouldn't nurse from an Egyptian woman. Why is that in Shulchan Aruch? That's normative practice for all Jews? That's Moshe Rabbeinu's Shulchan Aruch. What does that have to do with me? Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, you see from here, every one of our children has to be looked at as an asid l'daber emashchina. When we educate each one of our children, you know, what would Yishai have thought? Ah, number 7. You know, okay. The youngest is David HaMelech. Maybe the 7th, 8th, machlokas in the difference in the psukim. But says Rabbi Yaakov, l'chora tamua, source 7, eich efshar l'ilma mikan halacha l'maisa, hakan mefurash atam, mishum she'azal dabar ha-mashchina, imke minolon, how do we know, shekein adin eitzel kol echad ve'echad, u'mavur mizeh, we learn from here, limud gadol be'inyin chinuch, she'tzarech ha'av litein l'banav, when a parent, as a grandparent, we might say even as a neighbor, as a teacher, a lot of this could go into schools also. We have to look at our children as our talmidim, as asidim ladaber emashchina. Future, the future is in their hands. The future of Klal Yisrael is in the hands of our children. It's a beautiful thought mentioned in the Shemin Atov. He was just nifter a couple of months, about a month or two ago. Right, Bernard Weinberger, Yom Gizul of Williamsburg, he writes, beginning in Megillas Rus, we just landed it on Shavuos. Pasuk tells us, Yelachish, man left from Beis Lechem Yehuda, and he goes to Moab. The second pasuk tells us, and his name was Avimelech, and Machlon, and Kilion, v'chulu. The first pasuk does not mention his name. Anonymous. There was a man from Levi that went, and Beis Lechem Yehuda, v'chulu, and the Navi delays, and doesn't mention a word of who they are, the names of the parents, until pasuk Beis. Interesting. Reminds us of another anonymous beginning of a great person in history. Moshe Rabbeinu, Sefer Shmos, Vayelech Chesh Beis Levi, Veikach Bas Levi. an anonymous man from Levi takes an anonymous woman from Levi. They have a baby, Mazel Tov, born 3 months early. And later on, we'll find out who these people are. He happens to be the Gadol Hador. Amram, Yocheved, but anonymous at the beginning. Why does the Torah, and why does the Navi, Ksuvim, why are they left anonymous at the beginning and only then, says the Shemen HaTov? Because the greatest leaders in Am Yisrael could come from the simplest of parents. I could be an anonymous, who am I? I'm a simple Jew. Ishmi Beis Levi. Ishmi Beis Lechem Yehuda. And my descendant could be David HaMelech. And my descendant could be Moshe Rabbeinu. Even if we don't think of ourselves as I'm the leader, I'm the Gadol Hador, I'm amazing. Ishmi Beis Levi. Pashit, simple Jews. Nira Lomar, line 14. Tadavka nechta balasham vayelach ish mi belila das mihu, without knowing who he was. Umadre gaso lahoros to teach us. Deme ish pashuch lo no debarabim. Maybe Amram was known, but the Torah puts him in an anonymous presentation to teach us that we have to focus on the children, the potential that they have. Us to the daber in mashchina. Every single person, each. As a parent, as a grandparent, as a leader, we have to look at our children in that way. So this is all general chinuch habanim. But what we're going to talk about for the next few moments is a specific element. If we look in Torah Shebichsav, the written Torah, what does it say in the written Torah about the obligation of parents to children? Does it say anywhere in the Torah, I have a chiyuv to teach my son to shake a lulav? I have a chiyuv to teach my child to do any of the mitzvos? The answer is no. There's only one mitzvah that is said explicitly in the text of the Torah. And that, of course, we said this morning, v'shinantam levanecha. Teach Torah to one's children. As a parent, we have to, and a grandparent, and again, we have to teach our children to do everything. And yet the Torah singles out Talmud Torah. Why? Am I a Rebbe? I'm a parent. I'm a father. But what the Torah says explicitly is v'shinantam levanecha. And it's not just the Rambam. It's not just the Torah. If we continue reading the Rambam. The Rambam, the beginning of Hilchos Talmud Torah. Again, topic of a separate shiur, but we'll just touch on it for a moment. How does the Rambam start off Hilchos Talmud Torah? If we were the Rambam, we would have started off, everybody's a chiyuv to learn Torah. It's not what the Rambam says. First, the Rambam tells us who doesn't have to learn Torah, which is a question we're not going to answer right now, but it's a fascinating question. Nashim, avadim, ptanim, peturim, talmud Torah. Why are you telling me who's exempt? Tell me who has to learn Torah first. Okay, question, not for now. But who is the first obligation that the Rambam says? The Rambam says in the first halacha, perek alav halacha alav, katan aviv chayev lelamdo Torah. A father has to teach a child to learn Torah. The first obligation in Hilchas Talmud Torah is a parent having a chiyuv to teach a child Torah. And then the Rambam gets into one's personal obligation to learn Torah. Why focus on that? Why does the Torah Shebichsav focus on that? Obviously Talmud Torah can get kulam, but maybe there's something deeper for us to understand. Why does the Torah Shebichsav focus on that? Why does the Rambam focus on that? Furthermore, there's a Gemara Baba Basra on Daf Chaf Aleph. The first yeshiva, right here. The yeshiva system. Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla came up with the yeshiva system. Source 11. Zachur oso ish latov Yeshua ben Gamla shmo. Shemalu nishtakech Torah mi Yisrael. Without Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla, one of the great Tanoim, Torah would have been forgotten. Mishish lo av malam do Torah, mishin lo av loyal ami Torah. It used to be, if the father would teach his child Torah, great, and if not, he wouldn't learn. He started the concept of a yeshiva. Great Gemara, this Gemara is quoted by many as amazing. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein quotes Rav Huttner, and Rav Huttner says this Gemara is a tragic Gemara. Tragic Gemara. Because the ultimate is for a parent to teach his child Torah. And it's a bidyeved for a Rebbe to teach a child Torah. So, Rav Huttner, what's so unique? There's a Rebbe and there's a father and there's a mother. What's so unique about a parent teaching a child Torah, learning with their children, we're learning with their descendants, learning with their grandchildren? How are we supposed to understand this? And again, remember the Rav Soloveitchik quote. My olam haba. For the school, for Rav Chaim Heller, and for learning Torah with my children. That's what he quoted. So what is it? What is unique? So what's the key? What's the importance? So we're going to have three ideas. Three ideas about the uniqueness and the focus of a parent and a grandparent learning Torah with their children. Again, we spoke up until now about the general mitzvah of chinuch, but let's talk in the time that we have left, specifically regarding a parent learning Torah with one's children. On the most basic level, number one, lilmod amanas lalamed. A parent has an obligation to help his children know what to do, to teach them with words, to teach them by example, to make sure they know how to act and react to every situation in life, to verbalize and express it, to make sure the child knows that the Torah has something to say about everything. Just personally, I know by some experience, there are certain delicate topics that I've been able to try to get in to talk with my children in the context of Mishnayos. You have to go over to sit down. Let's talk about the birds and the bees. No, that if you're learning Maseches Ksubos, if you're learning a larger in the Torah, but then they imbue the fact that the Torah has something to say about everything, and we have to make sure our children hear it through the prism of Torah, and not through the prism of the street. To know how to do the mitzvah, to know that the Torah has something to say about every mitzvah. But it's not just the content of the mitzvos. It's the attitude towards mitzvos. That's also a little more amanas lasos. There's an amazing comment of Rabbeinu Yonah on a pasuk in Mishlei. We don't know enough Mishlei. We have to learn Mishlei more. Mishlei, Shlomo Melech. Proverbs. This is what he says to live. Every pasuk says the pasuk in Mishlei in Source 12. Ish lefi mahalalo. A man according to his praise, which simply, the simple understanding is, how do you know a person? What people say about them? Lefi mahalalo. Right? Im ruach habrios nocha imenu ish lefi mahalalo. Says Rabbeinu Yonah in the Shari Tshuva, a deeper understanding. You know how you tell a person ish? Lefi mahalalo, according to what he praises. According to what gets him excited. You know, what gets us most excited? When we buy blank, when we get a new Sefer, my kid's laughing, I get a new Sefer, I give it a kiss, I'm like, you know, holding it, they're like, Abba, calm down, right? I'm like, no, this is, I love it. You know, I call up the Sfarim guy in Beit Shemesh, he always knows I'm an easy sell. You know, I call up and, Ish lefi mahalalo, what gets us excited? What gets us psyched? When we wake up in the morning, what are we most, wow? Emotionally connected, what do we run to? What do we talk about at the Shabbos table? Ish lefi mahalalo, a man according to what he praises. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, malas adam lefi ma sheyehalel. What does he praise? Im hu meshabeach ha-maisim ha-tovim, v'chachamim v'tzadikim. If all we talk about is Torah and great people who we can learn from. So that'll impact. That's also a lomad amanas lasos. To teach the content of the mitzvah, but also to teach the attitude towards mitzvos. You know, how we look at our avodas Hashem. As Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in many of his writings, chas v'shalom, to give the impression of shver tzayin yid. It's difficult, it's hard, it's crexing, but it's like, how could you live without Shabbos? How could we live without Torah and mitzvos? We have something to wake up for every single day of our life, right? Go wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning for 25 years, giving the daf. I mean, it's like, it's unheard of, but it's like, this is what gets us excited. Ish lefi mahalalo. And it says the Shlach HaKadosh is a minug to say the tefillah of the Shlach HaKadosh. You can say it every single day. It's okay, you don't have to wait till Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan. But it's the Shlach HaKadosh writes, and chief rabbi in Prague, came over to Eretz Yisrael, he's buried right next to the Rambam in Tveria. So the Shlach HaKadosh writes in the tefillah, source 14, that Pru Revu has two elements. Al kiyam ha'olam, al kiyam ha'torah, bo'olanu mimcha Hashem, al kenu shnei tzivuyim, kasafta b'sarasecha, Pru Revu, v'kasafta b'sarascha, v'limadzem osam es b'neichem, v'kavana b'shtehem achas. It's one idea. Pru Revu and v'shinantem levanecha is two sides of the same coin. It's the physical, but it's the spiritual. It's shaping, it's molding our children to be avdei Hashem. Lomod amanas lasos. That is step number one. aspect number one. If this was the only aspect, one might say that a Rebbe could also do this. What's unique about a parent? In everything that we've said, a Rebbe could teach the content, and a Rebbe could be excited about the attitude, but there are two other elements. Two other elements that make it unique for a parent. We don't need any scientific studies to tell us, to prove to us how a strong and positive relationship between a parent and a child could affect their whole being and can affect their whole life. There is no deeper and stronger way for a parent to bond with a child than through connecting through the Dvar Hashem. Connecting through HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. Rav Lichtenstein writes, it's an article about Chinuch HaBanim. When my son Rav Moshe finished high school, we sent him to the States to study with the Rav. I drove him to the airport, and when he was about to leave, I was going one way, he was going the other. We embraced and did not exchange one word. My wife was then visiting her father in the States, and I wrote to her, it was worth spending 17 years of learning of chinuch in Torah and mitzvos for a one-minute embrace. And my son came away with the same feeling. He was connected to his son through the Torah that they had learned, even without saying a word. Because Torah bonds. Torah connects in a way that is out of this world. The Rambam writes, I mentioned this in other shiurim, the Rambam writes on the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Kenei L'Chachaver, we should get some good friends. The Rambam says there are three types of friends in the world. Three levels of friends. The lowest level, again, there's nothing wrong with it, but the lowest level friend is what he calls a chever toelis, we might call a business partner. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. I can't do this if you don't, you know, you invest, I'll work for you. We have a business partnership and we need each other, but there's nothing deep between us. We're connected because there's a need for us to be connected. That's level one, and that's fine. But then there's level two. What the Rambam calls, again, this is the translation of the Arabic, chever nachas, which we might call a best friend. I call a best friend. We enjoy each other's company. We like to spend time with each other. We confide in each other. We share life experience with each other. It's wonderful. That's what our spouses should be. And that's second level, which is great. But it's not the highest level. It's not what a marriage and a deeper, we'll see what the example is. There's an even higher level, deeper, intense level of a friend. Not just toelis, not just enjoying each other's company, but where the two people come together in order to achieve a goal, a dream, an aspiration, which cannot be achieved through just one of them. What the Rambam calls chever l'dvar na'ala. Maybe that dvar na'ala, feel free to put this away and back pocket it for a sheva brachas. Maybe the dvar na'ala is a bayis ne'eman b'Yisrael, the highest level. The Rambam's example that he gives is a Rebbe and a Talmud. Connection through Torah. Chever l'dvar na'ala, coming to the truth of the dvar Hashem. Hashem's autobiography. Connecting through that, that's the highest level. Says the Rambam at the end of source 15, Va'oev amala hu shitia av tava shneyem v'kavanasam l'matar achas, where their desire is to one goal, v'yirtza kolecha lehe'ozer b'chaveiru b'hagiyah hatova hu l'shneyem yachad, where they're each trying to get close to Hashem and perfect their spiritual personalities. That's the highest level. And when a parent cements the relationship with a child, with a grandchild, in that way, connecting through the Dvar Hashem, there's nothing more sturdy and strong. And there's no higher level. Friend, so to speak. Friend is not the right word. Chaver is from the word chibur, connection. It's really a better translation. There's no greater, deeper connection than a parent and a child acting like a Rebbe and a Talmud. The Rambam gives that example at the end. Rav la Talmud, v'talmud la Rav. Number two. So number one, Lilmud Amanas Lasos, in order to help him and her to know what to do, both in terms of content and in terms of attitude towards mitzvos. Ish lefi mahalalo. Number two, the cementing of the relationship. There's nothing like it. And finally, third and maybe most unique element of a parent and a grandparent learning with a child. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Kiddushin Daf Lamed, source number 16. First paragraph of Kiddushin is the longest parak in Shas, 40 blot. 40 blot, one parak. But Baba Basra has two prakim that are each 30 blot. But Kedushin, the first parak, the longest parak in Shas. Says the Gemara, three quarters of the way through. Amar Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, Surah 16. Kol Malamed is ben benot Torah, ma'alel avakasav, kilu kibla mehar Sinai. If somebody learns Torah with their grandchild, it's as if they got the Torah, they're reliving the Har Sinai experience. And the question is, what's so unique about a grandchild? Why doesn't it say a child? If you learn Torah with your grandchild, it's lamala lamala. What's the Gemara telling? What's so unique about a grandchild? Question one. Let's continue. The Sfarno has an unbelievable comment. Sfarno was pointed out to me a few weeks ago. The Sfarno in Surah 17, in Shmos, in Perek Vav, the Sfarno asks implicitly, how did Moshe and Aaron, how did that family come about? That's like pretty amazing. Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam? That's a serious major league family. The brother, the sister, the brother, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, says the Sfarno. Levi lived the longest out of all the Shvatim. They got to learn Torah with their grandfather. You get to learn Torah with your grandparents. That creates something very special. Avalevi sheherich yamim malkulam gidel gamis b'nei banav lahavinu lahoros v'chein kahas v'amram ba'ofan sheyatsu mehem Moshe v'aron u'miriam. So again we ask, so what is it? What's so special? The Gemara says, as if it was a grandchild. The Sfarno says, Levi. Maybe the secret is a Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara in Sukkah asked the question, what's the first pasuk we're supposed to teach our child when they learn to talk? So most of us would say, Ima, Abba, Mami. That's the first thing we try to get them to say. Because obviously I need some recognition. I've been up all night and listening to your screaming and changing your diapers for a couple years. The least I could do is get you to say my name. But what does the Torah say? What's the pasuk that we're supposed to... So if you would have asked me without looking at the Gemara, we know there's a famous medrash quoted in the Ein Yaakov. What are the three most important psukim in the Torah? What are the three most important psukim in the Torah? So one opinion says in Source 19, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And another opinion says... What's the other pasuk? The Atzor Echa Kamocha. And the third opinion, the most unusual, Zakem Zachat Hasev Aboker, Zakem Zachat Hashanit Hasev Rebai, and the message of consistency. Amazing. But none of those are quoted in Sukkah. What's the first pasuk that was supposed to teach our child? None of those are quoted. What's the pasuk? Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. Morashaki Hilas Yaakov. Why is that so defining? Why is that? Just get the door, please. Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. The message of Mesorah. The message that we're part of something greater. That we're part of a chain. We're a link in the chain. Going back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Going back all the way to the source of our halachic Mesorah. That's the message. Who is the greatest link in my personal chain? Going back... My father, my mother, my grandparents, my great-grandparents. Says Rav Soloveitchik, quoted in the Harei Kedem, if it's just about the information, then a parent is greater than a grandparent. But if it's about appreciating that we're links in the chain of something glorious, of something that doesn't have a parallel in any other nation in world history, then a grandparent has something above even a parent. Kilu kibla me Har Sinai, as if you go back to Har Sinai, says the Harei Kedem. You have it there in the Rav. The Nira Mavur Misug Yizu, the Yish Malam Yuchedes Beli Medatara Libnei Banim, Yoser Mitamatara Shal Banim, Tavi Kibla me Har Sinai, and that's the message of Torah Tzivalanu Moshe, Mo Rasha Kihilas Yaakov. It's not just about the information. It's not just about creating the relationship. It's about appreciating who we are in Jewish history. About appreciating there's a lot that came before us and there's a lot that's going to come after us. And a parent and a grandparent has the primary responsibility to give that appreciation
And that's why the Gemara emphasizes, Kilu Kibla Mehar Sinai. And that's why the Gemara says, it's Dafka, a grandparent. Rav Soloveitchik writes about this in many of his writings. One of my favorite pieces in Rav Soloveitchik, if you turn two pages for a moment. Page number six, the Rav talks about the Misorah. Unbelievable. On page number six, I can't read this without... It's unbelievable. The old Rebbe walks into the classroom, crowded with students who are young enough to be his grandchildren. His grandchildren. He enters as an old man with wrinkled face, his eyes reflecting the fatigue and sadness of old age. The Rebbe is seated and sees behind him rows of young, beaming faces, clear eyes radiating the joy of being young. For a moment, the Rebbe is gripped with pessimism. With tremors of uncertainty, he asks himself, can there be a dialogue between an old teacher and young students, a Rebbe in his Indian summer, and students enjoying the spring of their lives? The Rebbe starts the shiur uncertain as how to proceed. Suddenly, the door opens, and an old man, much older than the Rebbe, enters. He is the grandfather of the Rebbe, Reb Chaim Brisker. It will be most difficult to study Talmud with students who are trained in the sciences and mathematics were it not for his method, which is very modern and equals, if not surpasses, contemporary forms of logic. The door opens again and another old man walks in. He's older than Reb Chaim because he lived in the 17th century. He's known as the Shach, who must be present when Dini Mamonis are discussed. More visitors arrive. The 11th, 12th, 13th centuries. Rabbeinu Tam, Rashi, Rambam, Ravid, Rashba, Rabbi Akiva. These scholarly giants are bidden to take their seats. The Rebbe introduces the guests to his pupils, and the dialogue commences. The Rambam states a halacha. The Ravid disagrees sharply, as is his wont. Some students interrupt to defend the Rambam, and they express themselves harshly against the Ravid, as young people are apt to do. The Rebbe softly corrects the students. The Rashba smiles gently. The Rebbe tries to analyze what the students meant, and other students intercede. Rabbeinu Tam is called upon to express his opinion, and suddenly, a symposium of generations come into existence. Young students debate earlier generations with an air of daring familiarity, and a crescendo of discussion ensues. All speak one language. All pursue one goal. All are committed to a common vision, and all operate with the same category. Skip to the bottom. After a 2 or 3 hour shiur, the Rebbe emerges from the chamber young and rejuvenated. He has conquered, defeated age. The students look exhausted. In the Misora experience, years play no role. A parent doesn't only give over them information. He gives over the Misora. He gives over the appreciation. I come from something, and you're going towards something. And you're the next link in the chain. So when we learn with our children, yes, Chinuch HaBanim in general is something defining. But specifically learning, number one, Lilmud HaMinas L'Asos, both in terms of content and in terms of attitude, Ish L'fi Mahalalo. Number two, it's about cementing the relationship, the highest level of the Rambams, Aseh Lecha K'nei Lecha Chaver. And finally, number three, it's about giving over an appreciation of the Misorah, giving over the message of where we are in our great chain, going back to Moshe Rabbeinu. And yes, sometimes it takes sacrifice. Rav Nassim Adler writes in the last source, sometimes you would think the mitzvah of Hakel, every 7 years we go to the Beis HaMikdash, the halacha is you have to bring men, women, and children, bring everybody to the Beis HaMikdash. I always thought, it would be a much more spiritual experience if I left the kids at home. I went, and I have to go to the bathroom, and this, and that, I'm hungry. You know what, just let me go myself, and then I'll... No. Anashim and Anashim v'tav, says Rav Nassim Adler. Because even if it means sacrificing some from our own, that's what Hashem wants from us. Hashem wants Anashim and Anashim v'tav. Bring up the family. Schlep the family along. And we have to recognize how important it is. And just to close, that same article Rav Lichtenstein writes, as I mentioned, when my sons were in high school, I used to devote several nights a week to learning with them. Once I met one of the Rambam at their high school, and he remarked, "What a wonderful thing. As busy as you are, you find time to come learn with your sons." I looked at him and could not understand. If I can't find time to learn with my sons, for what will I find time? What is my time for? But he did not seem to understand a word of what I had told him, so I let it be. We have to recognize that our primary goal in life, one of our great... We started off, what's the hardest mitzvah in our lives? So this is up there. But we have to recognize the privilege The privilege to be, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaMalami Torah La'amo Yisrael. The privilege to sit down, to be able to talk. And it doesn't matter how old our children or grandchildren are. We could call them, speak to them, give me a vart on the parsha. Let me hear something, let me tell you. To connect in that way. And in that way, we should all be zochet to have tremendous yata d'shmaya with our children, our grandchildren, and to bring a lot of nachas ruach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Why is an
Eidekal
called an
Eidekal? Inenu Ukal. Inenu Ukal.
Yeah.